Football Sunday here, WEEI. Christian Arkan, Chris Scheim. Mega was here, but didn't work out. So yeah. She had a faulty equipment. She sends her best. She also says she thinks the Jets are going to win the AFC. She agrees with me.
Her extra producer today did not help.
No, it didn't help. Killington, when do Huskies ever help you at all?
It's true.
Unless it's a sled race. I mean, they're the least helpful dogs.
Great
in the world.
Iditarod.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, they don't listen to you for bleep. They just do whatever they want.
Yeah. Very dogs. Intelligent.
Yeah. Good looking dogs. Beautiful dogs. But what a bunch of a-hole dogs those Huskies are, man. They just do whatever they want. Anyways, she also has her contributions for the Pop, Lock, and Drop, which we will do at 11:20, and we'll have that for you before we pass things over to the Mass Mutual pregame show. We got a short show today due to the doubleheader with the Red Sox, who got rained out last night with the Twins. Yes, the Red Sox are still playing. It's over, but they're still playing, and they got a doubleheader today. Thank you very much, Killington. I'm sad, too. Speaking of doubleheaders, a texter from the 603, hey, guys, Monday night's not a doubleheader. Shut up. Yes, it is. The first game's at 7:30, and the next one's at 8:15. Yeah. Unless they're starting at the same time, it's a doubleheader.
We'll change it. Double feature.
No. Doubleheader.
Okay. Doubleheader.
Doubleheader.
There you go.
All right? I don't want to save your nerd crap, 603. I don't want to hear it right now. All right, let's get to it. It's time to let you know what's going on in the NFL this weekend. You've been hearing Chris Scheim give you some injury updates and so forth during trending. I don't think we're going to make it to inactive, so let's just go ahead and take a look at the slate of games. If we could get some NFL music, please. That would be great. And let's go ahead and start off with the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns, a truly lousy-looking game.
Just a disgusting matchup of teams here. A game that I don't really necessarily want to bet on. I'll probably place a small wager on the under. I have no interest in betting either side here. 6.5. I don't think the Browns should be laying 6.5 points against anybody in football, except maybe Bryce Young, who's not playing anymore. So I have zero interest in betting that. I may lay on the under at 38.5. That's about
it. That over-under is pretty tempting. It seems like, I don't know, I feel like eventually, I had the Browns losing last week, and they beat the Jaguars, and that was my suicide knockout pool pick. And I feel like eventually Cleveland does have some pieces on that offense, and Watson's maybe not so bad. Like, he got off to a bad start.
Mm-hmm. I think the one thing for me I like in that game a lot is
that defense against Danny Dimes, that's not an over type of game, you know?
Yeah, the only person I would target there is Malik Nabers. I mean, Danny Dimes through 2 weeks has shown you he is going to funnel the targets to Malik Nabers as much as possible.
All right, Bears and the Colts, another 1 o'clock game in Indy. A couple of teams that have got off to rough starts.
Yeah, one of the big swing and misses so far for me has been the Colts. I thought they'd be a lot better, more efficient on offense. They have not been.
You had big thoughts for Richardson.
It was my long shot pick for an MVP there at 40-1. He has struggled a bit at times. Week one, they were great. They kept up with Houston. Week two, not so much against Green Bay. I'm hoping for a bounce back week, but it's against a tough Bears defense. Again, this screams under to me. Under 44 is the number right now. I don't want to lay the side because I don't know what either team is right now. The Colts have like the worst defense in football, so it may also be the first good game we get from Caleb Williams. I'm curious to see that.
That could certainly be it. It's not a good Colts defense, I agree. I'm looking at Colts -1.5, and the over-under's ticked down a bit to 43.5. So I don't know if that changes anything. Probably shouldn't, but there you go. I think I just go with the home team here. Honestly, if
just
I had to pick one or the other, I'd go with the Colts just because they're at home. Yeah. And I think that the Bears are really, really struggling. Williams looks like he's struggling. He might put it together this year, but not sure if he's going to do it on the road.
Feels like a bit of a kitchen sink game for the Colts, too, being 0-2. Yeah. They really need to try and get a win here.
Certainly. All right. This is a game you mentioned earlier. The Houston Texans on the road, undefeated so far, 2-0, against the undefeated Minnesota Vikings with Sam Darnold at the helm going up against C.J. Stroud. That is a 2-point road favorites are the Texans with an over-under 46.5 on the total.
Yeah, give me the Vikings. I'll take them on the money line. Easy pick here for me. I love what Brian Flores is doing with that defense. He is going to create absolute chaos. It'll be interesting to see how C.J. Stroud navigates that, but no Joe Mixon or Damian Pierce this week for the Texans, so they are down to Cam Akers and Dare Ogunbowale, I believe, at running back. That'll be interesting.
Heard of that other guy. I'd rather him than Cam Akers.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Akers is coming off like 2 torn Achilles or something.
Yeah. I can't believe he's still in the league.
Neither can I. But I like this Vikings team a lot. I think they're talented across the board. Sam, I'm seeing Ghost Darnold has been really, really good with Kevin O'Connell. Give me the Vikings.
All right. Let's go ahead and go to the next one here at 1 o'clock. An exciting game. A fun game on the slate. The Saints hosting the Eagles. The Saints laying 2.5 to Philadelphia, who had a rough week, too.
Yeah, that number under three, I'll take the Saints all day. I like the Saints, and I like the over in this game. The over to me seems like the square play, but the Saints, I mean, they scored 43 points two straight weeks, and honestly, they might do it again because this Eagles defense has been bad through 2 weeks. Derek Carr to Chris Olave is the matchup you want to look at today. Olave is slated to have a massive day against Darius Slay. Darius Slay is not breaking up passes. He is allowing 100% completion percentage when targeted through the first 2 weeks.
100%?
100%. He has not...
That doesn't even seem possible.
Yes, I'm aware.
Every time someone's throwing a ball at the guy Slay's covering, they catch it.
Bingo.
Wow.
And so I would be betting house. I am. I have a big ladder today on Chris Olave.
He's due to break up a pass, I gotta say.
He might break up a pass, but Chris Olave slated to have a really good day after a slow start to the season. Give me the Saints laying 2.5 and the over 49.5.
I like the Saints as well. I didn't know that, but that's certainly a nice piece of data there. The over under 49.5. I think I like that over as well. All right, how about Chargers-Steelers in Pittsburgh? Steelers laying 3, and this is another low total, 34.5.
Yeah, this number has moved, too. Like, it opened at 1.5, but then closer and closer we've gotten to game time, the more it seems like Justin Herbert won't play, and so that number continues to creep up here. I'd lay the points with the Steelers, especially if Justin Herbert doesn't play. I like the Steelers team. I think they're frisky. I think they can compete. I think Arthur Smith knows what he wants to do with Justin Fields. And, yeah, I mean, T.J. Watt is, when he's on the field, that defense is built different. I'll take the Steelers laying the 3, and I don't hate the under 34.5.
All right, Denver Broncos visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, also in the 1 o'clock window. It's Tampa laying 6.5 to Bo Nix and the Broncos. The total is 40.5 here for a Bucs team that's gotten off to a great start and the Broncos team that's having some predictable growing pains.
Yeah, this game's a stay away game for me because it screams just bet the Buccaneers, but I feel like it's a Sean Payton. I have to throw everything in the kitchen sink at this team to try and get a win here for Bo Nix. Could be the first week he actually gets a touchdown pass because he hasn't gotten one yet. So I am staying away from this game.
All right, Panthers and the Raiders to open up the 4 o'clock window. The Raiders coming off a big win over Baltimore are 5.5 point favorites over the lowly Panthers who made a quarterback change. Andy Dalton's going to start today. The Red Rocket with a 39.5 point total for these two teams. This is an interesting matchup.
I love the Panthers.
You love them.
I love the Panthers.
No one ever says that.
No, nobody has ever said, well, it's because Bryce Young's played quarterback, right? And Bryce Young can't do anything. Last time Andy Dalton played for this team, he threw for 350 yards in the one game he played last year.
Who was it against?
That was against the Seattle Seahawks last year. They lost 37-27 in that game, but Darnold was great. He was awesome. Dalton is a capable quarterback. It is much better than Bryce Young. I like the Panthers. I'm going to lay the money on the Panthers money line here at plus 200. I'll take it. 2-1 all day.
All right, very good. How about the Seahawks and the Dolphins? This one in Seattle. Miami with a quarterback situation. I just read Tua's going to make the trip. Obviously, he's not going to play. No. I'm not sure why he has to fly out to Seattle, but whatever. It's neither here nor there. Anyway, with Skylar Thompson, Miami getting 4.5, the total 41.5.
Yeah, the easy bet is the Seahawks and betting against Skylar Thompson. I did that last week in betting against Malik Willis, and it bit me in the ass, so I'm going to stay away from this one.
Okay, how about the Lions and the Cardinals? 4:25 start time in Arizona. The Lions, 3-point road favorites and a big total here, 51.5.
Arcand, are the Lions overrated?
I don't think so.
I think they might be. I think they might be overrated.
I think they're pretty good.
I think Jared Goff has come down to earth a little bit. This offense is struggling. They're not doing everything that they did last year. I think they're kind of figuring some things out. I like the Cardinals this week. Give me the Cardinals.
All right. Cardinals, definitely not overrated, but yeah, the Lions might be.
A lot of fun.
They are a fun team.
I think
the Lions are a fun team too, personally.
Sure, I agree, but they haven't played like it.
They haven't played like that. They don't have as much fun of a quarterback, I'll admit, as Murray when he's going. Marvin Harrison, that game he had last week, was certainly the beginning of what could be a big season for the rookie. All right, how about the Ravens and the Cowboys? 4:25 start in Dallas. The Ravens, despite being 0-2, are laying 1.5 on the road. 47.5 is the total.
Yeah, I'll take the Ravens here. Gotta have it game. If you don't get it, you're not making the playoffs. You're definitely not winning your division, probably, with the Steelers likely to go 3-0 on the season so far. So I'm going to take the Ravens here. Big running day for Lamar and Derrick Henry.
A battle for California, the Niners and the Rams. Niners 1-1, a surprising loss last week. The Rams can't get out of their own way. They're 0-2 to start the year. Niners 6.5 point road favorites with a 44.5 total for these two teams, rounding out the 4 o'clock window. What do you think here, Shane?
I'm leaning Niners, but I actually think the under's the better play.
Six and a half's a lot of points, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot of points. And I think the only way the Rams can even keep this game close is if they possess the ball, run the football. So it's going to be a big Kyren Williams day. Try and keep the score low. Keep it under 44 and a half.
All right, we'll just round this out here with tonight's game. That is the Falcons and the Chiefs. Falcons 3-point road favorites and a total of 46 and a half here. Atlanta with a big, big win over the Eagles. The Chiefs have barely escaped with wins in the first 2 weeks here. What do you think?
I don't know. This game is weird to me. I just...
I like how you just zip through all the games. We get to the last one, you're like, I don't know.
This game's...
You had a take for every game.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. It's like a weird spot for me. I don't love it. I don't know what to make of either of these teams. The Chiefs are dealing with a million injuries. The Falcons are... Like, Kirk Cousins might be good, but I can't tell. He was really just good in the final 2 minutes of the game. I just stay away from this. Don't touch this game. Don't be stupid. Don't get baited into betting the Chiefs -3. They didn't cover last week. Like, I'm out.
I think the bait's more with the Falcons right now.
Really?
They're the bigger bait. Yeah.
See, I think that's the smarter bet. Like, especially if I can get this at 3.5 and not 3. Like, if it moves at all because of late Chiefs money, I might take 3.5. But I don't like this. I'm staying away.
Falcons money line +144. That's what I'm looking at on FanDuel
I'll keep my eye on it.
There you have it. That is the slate of games for today. We're going to leave out the Monday games because we're running out of time here. And we have to get to Pop, Drop, and Lock, which we will do next. First, Chris Shime's going to tell you what's trending. We'll get to your phone calls as well right here on Football Sunday. All right, back here, NFL Sunday, Football Sunday on WEEI. We're going to hand things over to the Mass Mutual pregame show in about 12 minutes. But first, let's talk to Paul and Quincy, who has a thought on Drake May. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, guys, how are you? Listen, I wouldn't put Drake May in against the 49ers. On the road, against what might be the best team in the NFC, they can put up 30 points any given time. I'd wait for Miami without Tua. Maybe you can sneak a win.
Okay. I guess we lost him. But yeah,
Miami
Miami and Tua. If Tua's not playing, but yeah, it'll be Skylar Thompson or maybe Mac Jones. Shime doesn't think so, but no. I think it's still a possibility.
It's New Puntley.
Is there any benefit to waiting until it's a softer landing spot?
Why? Well, I mean, I guess if you want to start him at home, sure, okay, fine. But, like, you have a mini bye week this week. You have 4 extra days to prepare him for the game.
Mm-hmm.
This is the perfect opportunity. There is no better time to start him than coming out of the bye week, which you don't have until much, much later in the season. This is the right time, in my opinion, to start Drake May.
All right, very good. Without any further ado, let's get into Pop, Lock, and Drop. There it is. All right, for those who are uninitiated, we're going to tell you who's going to pop, who to lock in, and who to drop. Chris Shime, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, for me, the Arizona Cardinals are going to pop this week. Going against the Detroit Lions, I think people are going to be like, oh, this Cardinals team can actually play, and they might convince people that they are a playoff team. That's where the Cardinals are going to be after today.
I think for my pop, I'm going to go with the Seattle wide receivers. It's another week, and it's Miami this time, and I think that they're hot right now. They're very hard to defend against, and even if you put somebody or give extra attention to one of those three guys, and Smith and Jigba, Lockett, or DK Metcalf, one of the other ones going to burn you. I think there maybe could be secondaries out there that may be able to pressure them a little bit more, but I don't love Miami's pass rush, so give me any one of those three Seattle wide receivers. I think they all could potentially have big games here. If you're going to hold me down to one, I'd say it's probably Lockett's turn. I think Lockett's probably due after last week. All right, Mego's pop. Mego in absentia says, Marvin Harrison Jr. popped last week against the Rams, 130 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, specifically looking at him to have 90 or more yards today. The Cardinals play the Lions. Lions defense was better against Tampa last week, or in week two. Gave up over 300 passing yards when they played the Rams in week one. 90 or more for Harrison, by the way, is a +450
Ooh,
value.
Hot value out of Mego.
In the books right there. How about that? How about Mego the Sharp over here?
Okay.
All right, who are you locking up?
Yeah, lock it in. Andy Dalton, 225-plus passing yards today. That will get you +135. Andy Dalton's going to light it up. Andy Dalton is leagues better than Bryce Young ever has been in this league. He doesn't throw from his tippy toes. Give me Dalton 225-plus today against the Raiders.
All right, you can lock in for me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at -6 against the Broncos.
Ooh, okay.
I think that Denver's probably going to have a lot that they're going to try and throw at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's off to a great start. I think that Baker Mayfield's really connecting with his receivers in a very demonstrable way. You're seeing it every week. So I like them. I like them to win by a touchdown. Mego's lock. The very unsexy Seattle Seahawks over the Dolphins. How about that?
Okay.
Again, great minds or whatever we have are thinking alike. What happened with Tua, a total nightmare. Miami now looks like an expensive house of cards that's collapsing. Seattle wasn't great when they saw them in New England, but Mego came away, like many, impressed by Geno Smith. Think it's closer to two seasons back when we're giving him credit for. And Seattle, last I checked, is 4.5-point favorites. Again, not sexy, but it is a lock to me. All right, who are you dropping?
Yeah, I'm dropping that night game. We talked about it in the last segment. I am dropping the Chiefs and Falcons. I don't want to touch it. It seems like a trap left, right, and center. No matter what way you touch it, I'm out. I don't want to go near it.
I am not going near Baltimore and Dallas. No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't know what the hell to expect from Lamar Jackson and those Ravens. I don't know what Dallas Cowboy team you're getting either. After that week one game, everybody thought they were going to steamroll, and they got seen last week pretty bad by New Orleans. We're seeing everybody so far, so I guess that's just the way it is. But I'm not sure what to make of either one of those teams. It's a very, very small line. It's Baltimore minus one on the road, and I just don't want to touch it. So that's my drop. And for Mego, Carolina Panthers, anything. Drop it. They're 5.5-point underdogs to the Raiders. And with Bryce Young, that's a cautionary tale.
No Bryce Young this week.
Bryce Young's not playing. That's true. Are you,
maybe she
want
to change her take.
Are you willing to jump back on the Carolina bandwagon?
Yes.
And support the Red Rifle?
You damn right I am. Andy I am Dalton. So in. I am so into the Panthers being like a competent team now without Bryce Young. I could see it happening.
I don't think I can see it happen. I mean, it's
not
like...
They're not terribly untalented.
They kind of are terribly untalented,
I mean, Thielen and Deontay Johnson are both better than anything you have here in New England.
Thielen is better than anything we have. Thielen may have been 3 years ago. I don't know.
I mean, Thielen was pretty good last year when they threw him the football. Like the guy was solid. He still has a way of getting himself open. And then Deontay Johnson, again, is just a quick guy that makes himself open right off the line of scrimmage.
Whatever happened, what's going on with that rookie wide receiver with the funny accent?
Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, Leggett. What's it called? Foghorn Leggett Horn?
Well, yeah. I don't know if he's like good or what, because we've had Bryce Young at quarterback, so who knows how that's going to go.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the pop, lock, and drop, and that's what's going on here this weekend. Any closing thoughts on the Patriots, on the NFL in general? How about on the Patriots rebuild? Are you starting to wonder if maybe this rebuild is going to take a little longer than you thought initially when they drafted Drake May? Because I think that when May got drafted, that signaled to a lot of people, all right, we got our quarterback. We'll be back in the mix in a year or two. Is that still how you feel? Or was that ever how you felt?
Yeah. I feel like you could compete for a playoff spot next year still. I still firmly believe that. I think you need to get Drake May in sooner rather than later in order to fulfill that. But I absolutely think that you're still on the proper timeline here. Nobody expected this to be a playoff team this year. I had said all along, like 6-7 wins was kind of my target. Over that 4.5 was good by me. And so I think you can still get there, but you got to get Drake May in the game.
Yeah, I think getting Drake May in the game is important, but I look at this offense and I look at just the defense now too, and I just feel like there's so much work still to do. You know, this is the beginning of a rebuild. I'm not sure how many building blocks you really have. I think May is going to be one. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about anybody else on the offense in terms of like a building block for the future.
See, I think Jalen Polk is a legit building block.
Maybe he is. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to really say that so far. Pop Douglas, I thought, was maybe something. But in an offense like this, I feel like it's hard to even get that established. You know, there's nothing. It's all these young guys. They're all sort of going out on their own for the first time. There's no real veteran leadership when there is. In the case like Brissett, it's someone who has to lead by talking, not by doing, because they can't lead by doing.
Yeah, see, I think a picture will become clearer, especially when it comes to the wide receivers, when Drake May hits the field. When an actual quarterback who can throw the football at all points of the field hits the field, we'll be good.
That would be nice.
You'll at least understand what you have.
Yeah, and if I had any sort of expectation that this team was going to go out and spend on big-ticket wide receivers, mm-hmm. then I'd feel a little bit better. Not only that, these guys aren't going to want to come here. Like, you've already seen that.
Well, they will if you happen. Throw them the bag. Like, I mean, that. I think that's what bugs me the most is you drafted Mac Jones 15 overall, like, what was that, 4 years ago now? Mm-hmm. And then you went and spent $250 million or whatever it was on players. You're just like, yep, we're just going to sign everybody on the planet and really beef up this roster. However, when you went and drafted Drake May this year, you did none of that. You signed Mike Onwenu and you re-signed a bunch of guys that were already on this team.
Yeah, that's true. I think that, you know, with the offense, this past draft was all offense with one exception. you can't do that again next year. Your defense isn't that good. Like, you know, you lost Juwan Bentley, and all of a sudden you have no linebackers. I think your pass rush is good, not great, and your secondary is questionable. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Jonathan Jones. I don't know what Marcus Jones really is. I think Christian Gonzalez is good, but I'm not. PFF thinks he sucks. You seen these PFF numbers for him?
No.
He's like 144th out of 145 or something.
Oh,
I saw people retweeting the stat, which doesn't seem right to me, by the way. That doesn't seem who were you just saying had that terrible
Darius Slay.
Darius Slay. Like, yeah, it's not – I don't think it's at that point. But in coverage, according to PFF, Gonzalez is 114th out of 143 cornerbacks in coverage, which doesn't seem right to me. But also – I don't know how you get to that number, but it seems like maybe he's not having that great of a year, or at least when you come out of these games and everyone's like, well, he guarded this guy this many times and there was only this many yards and blah, 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 blah. Okay, sure, but how is he doing in general? And I think that maybe it's not quite as good. Either way, you're going to have to start drafting defense, too. You're going to have to start drafting to fill in these other spots in the roster where you're still not strong. That's offensive line. I think you still probably need a receiver or two. You're going to need corners. You're going to need a linebacker. Like, you know, like,
and you
feel
have
like
a ton of cap space, so you should, theoretically, you should be able to balance it, too. You don't have to go out and spend to the absolute limit, but you have to go out and spend some money to fill in some positions, and I think those positions in the secondary are more easily filled in the free agency market than they are through the draft, and then you can get guys like linebackers late in the draft. You can get offensive linemen in the mid to earlier rounds, and then you're kind of cooking a little bit, and you have an opportunity there, but you need to have a good balance of young talent and free agents. You can't just be one or the other.
Yeah, that's true. You have to blend those two together, and I think that this year you didn't really do any of that.
No.
I think the draft picks were fine. I mean, we'll see how they end up being.
And then you just re-signed all your guys. You didn't go get anybody new.
Yeah. And I heard Elliot Wolf say this, and it drives me nuts as well. You know, so it was all running backs and guards. That's what the free agent market was like. And it's
well, you could have used a couple guards.
Are you a running team or not? Like, was that not going to be the plan coming into the season, that you were going to run the ball a lot and it's just going to be all Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson? You could add Pollard, you could add Derrick Henry, you could add Josh Jacobs, all these guys. All these running backs were out there who were better than your guy. No offense to Stevenson, but I mean, these are established guys in the league, and running backs get hurt all the time. And instead, you go into the season with Jermichael Hasty as your emergency guy, Gibson, who's a third down back, and Stevenson, who had a bad year last year, and that's your run game? And by the way, your guard situation's not great either.
Oh, and by the way, you overpaid Ramondre Stevenson. You're giving him like $9 million a year, like he's Saquon Barkley or something. And, I mean, if you had entered the year and your guards were Jonah Jackson, John Simpson, instead of Sidy Sow and Michael Jordan, would you have felt better?
Probably. About the run game? Definitely.
Yeah, because then, I mean, your offensive line would have at least looked competent if you had gone and signed a guy like Jonah Jackson and a guy like John Simpson or any of those other guys, Robert Hunt, any of those guards that were out there would have looked better, because then you kick on when out to tackle, and it's like, all right, we feel good about ourselves, and instead it's just a mess.
It's going to be a long, long week, until next weekend, and then after they get their ass kicked by San Francisco, it's going to be even a longer week until they get the Miami Dolphins.
They can do it. I have faith to keep it close against San
Francisco.
Speaking
of the Miami Dolphins, some sad news.
Uh-oh.
Mercury Morris died.
Oh,
77 years old. Mercury Morris, rest in peace, a great
Patriots
villain.
Part of the perfect
villain.
Team, right?
Yeah, and was always right there, clinking champagne when the Patriots lost, whenever they did, and ended up being a pretty good, in his old age, a pretty good villain for the Patriots in their dynasty era. Rest in peace, rest in power, Mercury
couple,
Morris.
A couple quick inactives, too. Justin Herbert, active today. Jordan Love, inactive.
All right, there you go. Quarterback questions getting answered right there. That's all for us. Stick around. Mass Mutual pregame show on the way next. Thanks to Fitzy. And we'll be back next Sunday. We'll talk to you at 10 right here on WEEI.